57 years old. Sorry about that. Daniel's going, no, I'm 57, Daniel. Look how old you are. And then count back. What's that? Oh, thank you. Isn't God good? I wore a jacket, but it's so hot in here. I am going to take it off right now, but I wanted y'all to see that I still have one. That's right. I've got a new wardrobe because I'm wearing clothes I haven't worn in 4 or 5 years. Isn't it cool? Lose weight, find clothes. It is, but this thing used to be, look, I couldn't button it. Last year, I could not button this. God's good. I wanted to hang around long enough to aggravate my kids until they got old. And no, thank you. I'm fine. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's cool. I did have somebody tell me, say, you're looking good. Keep those big clothes because you're going to need them again. Okay, thanks for the encouraging kick in the mouth. Amen. Amen. Yeah, well, that's right, because I've definitely done my share. What happened to, there it is. Yes, that's right. Okay, we're getting ready to have Advent. So this time we've got, let's get ready to rumble. Come on up here, Betsy Needhammer. Here you is. Okay. You go ahead. Yeah, you did. You're fine. You do your thing. Here you go. You do whatever you want to do, and there's the lighter. She got it covered. If she ain't got it covered, you might as well forget it. You need a microphone. Hold on. We got that too. You might have to get a little closer to the microphone. There you go. You let it rip, sister. There. Oh, yes. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Come on now. That's right. Come on there. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. No. Amen. Awesome. 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 Come on, y'all. Yes, come on. Glory, that was awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Who needs no introduction? His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He has, out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with two fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings.
Come on.
Ruler of the universe.
Come on.
Alpha and Omega, yeah. Beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star.
Yeah.
Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Right. Get up on your feet. Put your hands together.
Come on, sir.
And show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Yes. Glory. 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 Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to tell you something, young lady. That was out of the park, hot, off the press, ready to go. Go ahead and get Lord another hand clap of praise. Go ahead. It's okay. Nobody's going to get mad at you. If they do, tell them to come see me. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Isn't God awesome? And it's amazing because actually I had Advent. I've left that up once we got it going, and Amy said she would do it, and then Betsy said that she would do it. Then I just kind of backed out, and so I was thinking about Advent, and I'm thanking God for the Advent, but I was mixed up on which candle was which, because I keep looking down because we got started late. I keep getting mixed up on which candle's which. She weren't mixed up. Not one bit. Not even a washing machine could take your joy. Amen, amen. You know, I've seen some Scrooges lately. Praise God. Anybody ever seen a Scrooge? Amen. Anybody got any Scrooges in your family? Anybody married to one? No, don't say anything. God is awesome. All the time. Well, let me tell you something. I was. This actually, the Lord really didn't give this to me until Friday night, and then I worked on it yesterday, in between doing other assorted stuff. Praise God! But you know, a joy, joy, joy to the shepherds. Joy, joy. Matter of fact, some of y'all need to realize weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. Meaning, there's going to be that word. Morning means breakthrough. It doesn't necessarily mean a time as in the morning when the sun comes up, although it can, but it literally means when there's a breakthrough. And some of y'all need to realize that this is your year of breakthrough. Amen? I want us all to stand. We're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to give you the scripture up there so you can get your Bible out if you want to, but we're going to pray first. But get your Bible if you want to. Turn to Luke chapter 2. But again, I'm going to put it right up here too, so if you don't have your Bible, you'll be able to read what we're going to talk about. Amen? We're going to pray first, and then we're going to do something different. How many's ever heard of Redbox? Red box, once you get through with it, what have you got to do to the movie? You got to drop it in the box. If you don't drop it in the box, they just keep charging your card. Amen? Well, guess what? Today, we're going to have a drop box practice. I want everybody to take their cell phone. Everybody start looking like they're going to have a heart attack right then. Well, you take your cell phone, unless your Bible's on it. I put it up here, so you don't even need your Bible off your phone. Once you take your phone, we're going to give God honor and glory today. We can't give Him honor and glory if we're playing on our phone while the message is going. So, we're going to take our phones and we're going to drop it in the box. All right? Or in the bag or wherever. But look, don't be doing this. You can say, well, I'll play a game or I'll do this and I can hear good. No, you can't. You cannot. A mind cannot do two things at once. If you're going to hear the message of God, put this up. All right? So here it is. Mine's down there. All right. Come on. Somebody be happy. Y'all be happy. Y'all getting mad at me. Get happy. All right. Ready? Now, we're going to pray. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you that we have a drop box, Lord. Then we put our phone up. We thank you, Lord, we can get our mind on you today, Lord, because we can't have joy if our mind is divided. We can't have joy if our mind is in other places. Lord, we have to be focused on you. And I ask you right now, Lord, to help us to focus on you this day. To focus on your message, because it's a powerful message. It's a message that's needed in this last day. It is such a simple message, but it's got so much power that we miss it because it's so simple. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to realize what those angels were talking about. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, on the way down, give somebody a high five, low five, no five, three quarters or four and a half, whatever, and say the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen, amen. You can be seated. All right. Now, here we go. Get ready. We're just going to read a few verses. We're going to read 8 through... I'm just going to read 8 through 14, actually, okay? Y'all can look up here with me. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field. Well, let me go ahead and read a little further there, because that really puts the icing on the cake of why there needs to be joy and why they were saying it to them. Because I'm going to tell you something. Y'all, you know, we think about, oh, how sweet the story was and how sweet it was that she was, you know, had the little Christ child and how it was so awesome. And next week, unless the Lord changes my mind, next week we're going to talk about the miserable blessing. Okay? But we're getting a start on it this week. All right? So here it goes. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, about 100 miles or so, unto the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Matter of fact, if somebody hadn't messed up in his past, Joseph would possibly be king. Talk about a miserable blessing. We can look back in our past. If we hadn't messed up in certain areas, or somebody else hadn't messed up before us, we'd be in a whole lot better shape than we're in right now, wouldn't we? Don't look at the past. Look at the future. All right? To be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child, meaning she was getting ready to bust at any time. All right? It was time for that baby to be born. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then the Bible says, in verse 14, verse 14 right there. There we go. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Now I want to read this a little different, in a different translation, in the Amplified Version. And the angel said unto them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall come to all people. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you, which you will recognize him. You will find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Then suddenly there appeared with an angel an army of the troops of heaven. Wow. Wow. That's powerful. Then suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of troops in heaven, a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest of heavens, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased, or men of goodwill, or of his favor. So now I was reading this scripture, and it really came to me, you know, we think about the good news. Every time you turn on the television, it's bad news. I like the way the media did. The media actually shot themselves in the foot when it came to the election. Because the media was trying their best. It was even said in some of those hacked emails that Hillary Clinton said, if I can go against Donald Trump, I can whip him. I can't whip the other guys, but I can whip Donald Trump. So the media tried to push Donald Trump. Notice whenever Donald talked, every channel went to him. He got more airtime, free airtime, than anybody besides Hillary. Why he did that was because the media was trying to get him to run against Hillary, because they knew if they could do that, she could win. All right, guess what? It didn't work. Matter of fact, it done right the opposite. Okay, but now that he's president-elect, he's already done more stuff as president-elect than a lot of guys have done in several years. Okay, and plus now he's putting on his cabinet, putting on generals that know what's going on. He's putting people that know what they're doing in places that are supposed to be there. Somebody yesterday said, "Why do you think about all the generals? And why do you think about putting billionaires on the board?" I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. If you were to go to a racetrack and you were going to bet on the horses, would you pick out a little old scrawny horse that had never won before at 101 to odds, just so you make that horse feel better? You'd bet on it?" They go, "No, I'd bet on the one that had the good odds." I said, that they said was going to win. I said, "Okay, then." He didn't go pick some little scrawny thing. He's picking the people to get the job done. And that's what America needs. And so quit second-hand talking to him or thinking about it. And then the Democrats said, "Now, Donald Trump, if you lose, do you promise not to say that we messed up the election? You promise to accept the results and not go back and try to change everything?" He said, "I promise." One time he said, "I'll think about it." But he did say, "I promise." And now that he's won, now they're doing the same thing they said that he was going to do. Okay? So I say all this crazy mess, but every time I turn on television, it's bad news. Bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. And then Donald Trump, when he worked with Carrier and saved 1,100 jobs, all he can say is, "Well, he miscalculated. It was not 1,100 jobs." Who cares? He saved some jobs. Okay, at the same time, still, bad news, bad news, bad news. So you know what? I was thinking about all the bad news I keep hearing about the murders and the rapists. And we did, we actually had, this week was our day to go to Pitt Detention Center. And I was talking with the guy. And I said, "I don't normally ask why you're in here," but he was so distraught. I said, "Can I ask you why you're in here, if you don't mind?" He said, "Sure." I said, "What you charged with?" He said, "I was charged with doing my Christmas shopping early." I said, "That's not an offense." I said, "How early were you doing the shopping?" He said, "Before the store opened." I'll take one of those. Amen. And so now, I kept saying, Lord, we need some good news. I'm so tired of bad news. Every time we turn around, now all I can hear is the Russians helping win. Now I can hear this and that and the other thing. It's on and on and on. Bad news, bad news, bad news. Can you let the man, somebody even said, I even saw the headlines. Does he think he's president already because of the stuff he's doing? Because he went and visited where a terrorist attack was. He went and visited the people and offered them comfort. And they said, "Who do you think he is, the president?" Yes. Yes, he just hadn't taken the oath yet. But yes, he's acting more like it than you would think. Some people should be acting. All right. So here we go. So here we go. Good news. Good news. Praise God. I'm ready to hear some good news. Let me tell you this. Here's the angels. They're setting out. I mean, the shepherds. Shepherds, they were the lowest of the low. They couldn't even testify in court. They were considered mangy, filthy. They were considered flea bitten because they hung around with their sheep. They hung around with their sheep so much the sheep knew their voice. And the sheep, they didn't even have to call them out. They could just start speaking. And their sheep, when they come in and have a communal sheepfold where all the sheep would come in, all the thing they'd have to do to separate the sheep was one shepherd would get on one side and the other shepherd would get on the other side, and they would just say, "My sheep come to me." And the sheep would know his name, and his sheep would go to him, and the other person's sheep would go to them. That's how close they were with these sheep. But because of that, people consider them not just second class, they consider them no class. And so I love the thought that in the middle of all this craziness, we think it's crazy around here, you know, at times at Christmas time. Can you imagine what it was like back then? So here's these guys. They're in the fields. Nobody even recognizes they're out there. Could care less that they're out there. But God cares. God cares so much, and God said, "You know what? I'm going to show them just how much I love them, and I'm going to show the world just how much they are worth, and I'm also going to show the world that my Son is the Savior of all men." So they come to the shepherds. And so here, can you imagine sitting in the field at night and looking up, and all of a sudden you see an angel? I'm telling you, I would have a hard time. I see an angel stand up, I would have me a hard time. So here's the good news that unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Savior. Look, Jesus was born not to sell cards and merchandise. Matter of fact, I've looked all year. And unless I order it online, I have yet. And I haven't looked in every store, so I'm not saying everybody. But the stores I've looked in, and I haven't had a chance to look conclusively, but the stores I've looked in, I can't find a piece of wrapping paper that's got a manger scene on it. It's got every cartoon character there is. It's got cartoon characters from the past, present, and future. It's got all kinds of shows and television shows. And it's got Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. You know, but I haven't seen one with Joy to the World. And I'm not saying they're out there, because I know they're out there. I just hadn't seen it. They're not readily available. You got to hunt them down. You see, Jesus was born not to sell cards and to sell merchandise. Let me tell you something. I love this. He came as our kinsman redeemer and as our daysman. That's the two words for Bethlehem: kinsman redeemer and daysman. Matter of fact, you've heard me talk about the kinsman redeemer many, many, many times. The kinsman redeemer, there was four things, and we're going to talk about this after the first of the year. There's more stuff about this. I'm not going to go into it deep, because when you go into it deep, this really sheds a powerful light. I'm just going to briefly touch upon this. As our kinsman redeemer, number one, he must be near of kin, the next of kin. He couldn't be a friend, although he is a friend. He couldn't be an acquaintance, although he is an acquaintance. He had to be kin, as in the blood. And so Jesus, I'm getting ahead of myself. Not only did he have to be kin, he had to be able to redeem. When somebody was in trouble, they would have to go into they had debts, and their debts come along, and their debts had them where they were having to, so they couldn't pay their debts, and they would be thrown into debtor's prison. That's not bankruptcy court. That's debtor's prison. I mean, you go into debtor's prison and you work until you pay the debt back, but you can't pay the debt back because you're not working for yourself. So you work and you work and you work and you work. So along comes a kinsman redeemer. Kinsman redeemer, first, he's got to be kin to you, next to kin. He must be able to redeem you. He must have that money. He must be willing. Are you going to redeem him? No, willing to redeem. And number four, the redemption was not complete until the prize or the debt was completely paid. See where I'm going? Matter of fact, I'm throwing this other word up here. When you see the manger, you got to also see the cross. The manger is the start, the cross is the finish. The manger is the starting line, the cross is the finish line. Christ's Mass. Mass is where we celebrate the death of Christ. Christ's Mass, we say we celebrate Christ, we celebrate his life, and we celebrate his death at the same time. And so watch this. Jesus is our nearest kinsman through the incarnation. Bethlehem makes him our next of kin. Not only that, but he had the power to redeem. The Bible says he was rich, meaning he was full of all of heaven's rewards. And he became poor that we may become rich. And I'm not talking about to fill your wallet up. What he's saying is he took on the lowliness of man so that we could take on the glory of God. Woo! That's powerful. And so because of that, because he did that, just think about how powerful this message is. Now, also, Jesus was willing to redeem us. He said, no man is taking my life. I'm giving it freely. And then finally, it's not counted until the price is paid in full. He said on the cross, it is finished. That did not mean that all it meant was that he was out, he was dying. What that meant was he was saying, watch this. The price for sin is finally paid in full. Wow. The price for sin is paid in full. Think about the thing. That is such a powerful, powerful message. So that's the good news. He's our kinsman redeemer. He's the daysman on the cross. He reached down to us and he reached up to God. He was suspended between heaven and earth. He reached up to God. He reached down to man. And the Bible says that mercy and grace kissed. We deserve death. We deserve the law. We deserve to have a book thrown at us. But he reached up and he grabbed God by one hand, reached down and grabbed the other man by the other hand, and he redeemed us. Wow. That's good news. Come on. That's good news. So now let's get going here. Get ready. Here we go. Let's go ahead and try to get through this thing. All right. Why is it good news? First, it's because it attacks fear. Do you realize fear can be normal? It can be healthy. It can be protective. When we go into Pitt Detention Center, I'm not talking about this kind of fear. I'm talking about a respectful fear. I go in, and I know when I get around those guys, there are certain things I shouldn't say most of the time. I also know if I go out on the road, if I see cars coming, I need to get out of the road. That's a healthy fear. It drives us to do healthy things. Deadlines can produce a healthy fear. I've got to meet a deadline, so I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to meet that deadline. So there's healthy fear. It's normal. And it is productive. But this is not the kind of fear he's talking about here. If you look it up, if you look it up in the Greek, you'll find out this word here is a whole lot different. This word here actually is phobos. All right? And what does phobos mean? Phobos is where we get the word phobia. Amen? So I want you to think about saying phobia. Fear, remember now, fear can be normal or fear can be unrealistic, unnecessary, and unproductive. Why? Because I'm afraid of something I shouldn't be afraid of. How many's ever gone to the dentist and said, I don't want to go to the dentist, and you'll let a tooth pure out, fall out, and rot and hang before you go to the dentist? Because you're more afraid of that dentist putting his hand in your mouth than you are him fixing that tooth. How many's ever had something wrong with you and you knew that you needed to go see the doctor and you needed a special exam, but you wouldn't go get that exam because you knew that would involve getting an exam? And you didn't want to hear what the news was. Guess what? That's an unhealthy fear. So this is this word here. It's phobos. It's where we get the word phobia. When we get these phobias, it's an unrealistic fear that will drive us to our knees when it shouldn't. Matter of fact, I've got it written up here. It says, fear, let me get up here where I can read it. Praise God, I can't even read the thing. 57, I thought when I needed some glasses, I'm starting to need glasses for far off now. I thought it's because I was my allergies, and I find out now I'm allergic to 57. Fear can be explained as a normal response to genuine danger or respect. But a phobia is a marked and persistent fear that is excessive and unreasonable, cued by the presence or anticipation of a specific event, object, or situation. So here, and I want you to just kind of think about something. I don't want to get into next week's sermon, but I just want you to realize something. It took a lot to get them to Bethlehem. I mean, for Joseph and Mary to get to Bethlehem, and we'll talk about it next week, but just know this, there was a lot. We think about how sweet it is to see the manger scene and how, you know, gives you warm woolly boogers when you see it and you think about it and sing Silent Night and Away in a Manger. They weren't singing Silent Night and Away in a Manger. They were cold. They were hungry. They were hurting. And they couldn't find a place to have the baby. No place to find the baby, to birth the baby. So finally, somebody lets them go and stay in a stable, and they take the milk rags, from the cows, and they wrapped swaddling clothes around baby Jesus with those milk rags. So think about it. How would you like to think that your baby was getting ready to be born and you couldn't even find a car to get there, and so you walked and you found some kind of animal and you got your wife on the animal and you walked 100 miles? And then once you got there and she's ready to give birth at any time, so things are really, really bad. And when you finally get to where you're going, the hospital says, "We don't have any place for you." And so, "Well, I'll have to go find some place to at least stay decent." And there's no place. And all of a sudden, you know, this place opens up. So I remember back in the early 90s when Fran came through, it tore up Benson. I mean, we had one of our members killed. We were without electricity. We couldn't even have electricity for his funeral. And we were without electricity for 2 weeks. We had no running water. And so there was a guy in the next town that run a halfway house. And he said, "If you don't mind coming to the halfway house, you can come get you a shower every couple of days." And some of the guys in the church wouldn't even go take a shower because they said it was a halfway house. They didn't want to be around that filth. I went. Kind of hard to take a shower they still didn't have any lights, but they had water. Because they're on city waters. You ever try to take a shower and hold a candle? Yeah, city water. City water will run. That's what's so good about county water. When we have electricity go out, as long as the county's still running, we got water. And they got electricity, supposedly, a generator to help get you water going. So they also had a gas hot water heater. So they had that ability to take that shower. And I remember that guy too. That guy was a hoot, because when people come in, they had to be tested for drugs. And he would tell them to go. He said, "Okay, you want to stay here tonight? You got to go pee in the bottle, in the cup." He'd come back and he would take it in the back. And if he tested and it tested okay, he would come back. But here's a little trick he'd always play. He would take the cup and he'd get a second cup and he'd pour apple juice in it. This one, my main men in the church too. Now look, he come back with that apple juice and said, "Well, you've passed everything but the last test." And they go, "What's that, sir?" He says, "Hold on just a minute. Yeah, you passed. You can stay." he would do that. Amen. So, all right. So here we go. But I remember people wouldn't even go in that house, that halfway house, to take a shower, and they'd rather walk around nasty with no water than walk in that halfway house. And I can't even imagine. Here's Joseph and Mary, and they're in this barn where there was definitely the sheep, and there was definitely the cattle and all that, but there was also rats, roaches, filth. And so here it is. So they already had a hard time. Matter of fact, I'm going to just say it this way. And please listen to what I say, because if you don't think about it right, you'll think that I just said something bad, and I'm not. They had been through hell to deliver the package from heaven. That's powerful. When I watched that movie, The Nativity, and I saw it, and it actually brought to life the sacrifices Joseph had to make to get her there, it made me, I mean, Joseph was already here, but after watching that movie, Joseph was way up there, because he really gave it everything he had. And so I can imagine Joseph and Mary thinking, "What's next? What's next? The baby's born, what's going to happen?" And when they're thinking that fear, the angel says, "We're going to take care of that fear, that unnecessary fear. We're going to take it and we're going to bring something to light. We're going to attack that fear." So good news, number one, it attacks fear. But how does it attack fear? Here you go, Betsy. I thought Betsy was going to preach my message. I started to give you the PowerPoint. How do you attack fear? Pretty simple. God's got a way. You know what it's called? Oh, I love it. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." You attack fear with the weapon of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is one of the fruits, or one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is an awesome, awesome thing. As a matter of fact, I want you to notice something here. This is some powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. You know, they found out weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want you to notice the Bible didn't say that I bring you good news of great happiness. Your washing going out didn't bring happiness. Okay? I can think of things that happened this week that did not make me happy. You know what I'm saying? You can look at things in your life that doesn't make you happy. Has everything happened this week made you happy? I mean, make you just want to bust a belly laugh. See, happiness comes and goes because it's based on surroundings and happenings. Happiness, happenings. That's the root word. So it's based on surroundings and happiness or happenings. But joy endures because it's based on a relationship and not surroundings, but being surrounded. You know what? I may be surrounded like Thursday night. We went in some rough places. And also there were some places that not only were they rough physically, but these guys were rough mentally. I've told you before, we go in there sometimes and they've taken their feces and they've wiped it all over their windows, or they've taken their feces and wiped it all over their face. And they'll tell me don't go over there because they're going to throw urine on you. So watch out how close you get. And there was one night I went in there and the guy said he was hollering and screaming. And I come by and he went, "Oh, Pastor, how you doing, man?" Wait a minute. He was just hollering and screaming, beating on the door. And he said, "Can I have one of those outlines?" And I said, "Well, they've already sealed up your door on both sides, so you couldn't throw urine on me." And I said, he said, "Can I have one of those Bible studies that we have here on Tuesday night? They love them up there at the Pitt Detention Center. Matter of fact, I got a greater attendance at Pitt Detention Center than here on Tuesday night." Yes. So I said, "Well, I can't get it to you," because he had peed under his door. Urine was under his door. And he said, "I hate to ask you this, but can you slide that under my door?" And so I took the front of the paper and I caught it up under the door. It feels like this. I pushed and I pushed without touching. I said, "You grab it when you can. I won't go any further than that." He took it and pulled it out and went, "Glory!" And I was thinking, man, I don't get that happy when I see it out of here. Praise God. And so again, here it is. Look. In those surroundings, it's not happy. But I know when I go in there, I'm surrounded by God. I'm surrounded by His presence. I'm surrounded by His glory. I'm surrounded by Him. When we pray before we go in, we go in the little room, chaplain's office, and pray. And the first thing we say is, "Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving us the message. And we thank you, Lord, for protecting us so we can give the message." Amen. And when we go out, I think about it all the time. When I go in there, no matter what I see, I remember I am surrounded by God's glory. I remember that night that guy would come up and he jumped up. It was something called E Block at the time. And the guy was in E Block and he was talking junk to us and he jumped up on the table. I mean, he just jumped right up on the table and just stared me in the face. Poor old Danny was with me, and Danny just sat there. I thought Danny was going to have a heart attack. He just stared me in the face. And so I went. He went, "Oh, okay." Because I knew that greater was He that was in me. Oh, come on now. Greater is He that's in me than he that jumped up on that table coming at me. Praise the Lamb of God. We don't have to be afraid because we're surrounded. Praise God. We're surrounded. That word joy, you know what the joy means? That word joy is a noun and a verb and an adjective all together. It means literally a full of cheerfulness, calm delight. It means it can calm you in the storm. It can calm you down. That joy has a common effect that nothing like nothing else in this world, knowing I'm surrounded by God. knowing I'm surrounded by His glory. Praise God, it's awesome. There's nothing like it. Amen. So look, the days when it was here, the fruit of the Spirit, there you go, Betsy, here we go. The fruit of the Spirit, I told you, I'm not just going to give it to her, she was doing so good. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. Now, I'm getting ready to go fast. Y'all get ready. Ready? Here it comes. It is good also because it's for everybody. It's for the Democrats. It's for the Republicans. It's for the tree huggers. What is that? Why you call them guys the libertarians? I reckon. Is the libertarians the tree huggers? They're kind of sort of maybe if you look at it in the left eye. No, they're the crazy people. No. The Ralph Nader people, all of them. Okay? It's good news for everybody. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He dies for that. The Bible says that whosoever, it didn't say whosoever was white, whosoever was black, whosoever was Christian, whosoever was Muslim, whosoever was Catholic, who was there. He said, I died that anybody that will accept me, come to me like you are, and I will change you. Amen? So it's good news for everybody. That was a quick one. Ready? Y'all didn't think I was going to get through this fast, did you? See, some of y'all are praying. So you said, if I'd known this, I'd have put my phone up a long time ago. Okay. But it also includes me. Now, I'm going to say something right now that sounds selfish. So I want everybody to just look at the person beside you and say, this is not selfish. All right, ready? Because I want y'all to say this too. Ready? Get ready. This story is about God's Christmas present to me. I got people in my family that will run you ragged to get you to go to church, and they won't go. I got people in my family that fuss when some people stay out of church, so they need to be in church, but they won't go. They talk about knowing God, and I ask them, I say, well, do you know God? Well, not like I should. Do you have a relationship with God? Well, what's that? That's being born again. Well, no. Well, they need to be in church, and you need to be in church, and you need to be serving God. But they keep right on talking. I go, what? It drives me crazy. You see, you know, God so loved the world, He sent His Son, that if I believe, I would not perish, but have everlasting life. Watch this. I was on that airplane. When I was on the airplane going up to New England, we actually made five between going there and coming back. We got on five planes, small plane, an itty bitty plane, a bigger plane, back to itty bitty planes. And every time we got on that plane, the first thing they would do was they would stop and say, before we take off, we need you to know something. You need to have your seatbelt. When you see that light sign on, put that seatbelt on. When the light goes off, you can take your seatbelt off. There's escape routes here and here. And then they're saying, if you're sitting there and you cannot open that door, get out of that seat, trade with somebody. It's your responsibility to open the seat, the door, if something happens over that wing. And so on and on and on. But then they would take out the oxygen mask. And it said, in case there's a problem, and they would drop it, hold it, and drop it, and say, this mask is going to fall down. And here's what they said. It made me think about this. They said, if that falls down, the first thing you do is put it on yourself. They said, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. There's a lot of caregivers that have died early. There's a lot of caregivers that went without. Because they were so busy trying to take care of everybody else, they didn't take care of themselves. Not realizing, they didn't see it, but as an act of love. They didn't realize sometimes that is as an act, not only of love, but sometimes it's an unfair act because you can't not around to help them as long as you could have been because you didn't take care of them. That's why that's one of the biggest reasons I kept hearing my youngins say, we want Pawpaw to be around for our youngins to be married and to do the wedding. And we want to see Pawpaw, see them graduate high school, get married, and them have kids. And Pawpaw, you know, I got tired of being called Santa Claus, too. And so really, a caregiver has to take care of themselves. All right. I didn't mean selfish. That's not selfish, taking care of yourself. Selfish is when I see a need and I can meet that need and I don't meet it. That's selfish. But I can't hand them that to if I can't get out of bed because I'm so sick because I didn't take care of myself. All right? So now watch this. Two things about spirituality. Number one, I got to take care of me first. Oxygen mask comes down. If I'm going to be preaching about Jesus, I got to have Jesus in my heart. If I'm going to be talking about Jesus, I've got to, listen, I've got to have forgiveness in my heart. I've got to have the fruits of the Spirit operating in my life. If I'm going to get up here and preach to you, then I better make sure that I got this in handled. Because if not, the Bible says there's some guys that do it, and guess what? Their end is the wrong end. So, number one, that's what the Bible says. I have to make sure if I'm going to preach it to you, I'm living it. Number two, I cannot give what I do not have. I cannot give what I do not have. The seven sons of Sceva, when they come up on this man, this the demoniac, they come up and said, "The Jesus whom Paul preached, we adjure you by him, come out of this man." And they said, "Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you?" And they jumped on them and beat them up. You cannot give what you do not have. And so it's important. Salvation. We don't just need to talk about salvation. We need to have salvation. Amen? That's what's the good news. I can be saved. And I've heard many a person tell me over the years, you know what, and even as lately as in the last few months, I see somebody I ain't seen in years and they'll go, "We would have thought Larry and Gary might have been preachers, but not you." I had one guy, I went to go get some gas. He was at the gas station. I hadn't seen him in 20 years. And he goes, "How you doing, man?" "Cricket." "I'm Cricket." "How you doing, Cricket? Why are you dressed up?" "I'm taking some people in a van to church function." He goes, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." He says, "Really, what you doing?" I said, "I'm taking some people." And I didn't have the church van was not covered. It was my van. And I said, "I'm taking some people to a church function." And he goes, "Ha, come on, man. Quit joking with me. Why are you dressed up? You going to a funeral? Somebody getting married?" I said, "No, I'm going to a church function." And he goes, "All right, what's the joke?" And I said, "There is no joke." I said, "I'm going. I'm the pastor." And anyway, ha, 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 ha. And I said, "Huh?" He said, "You're the pastor?" I said, "Yes." And he went, "Larry and Gary, maybe. I didn't even think Tammy may. Not you." I said, "Dude, I'm the pastor." And do you know, I gave him a calling card. I said, "Look at the calling card." He said, "You can get them printed up for nothing. They're not going to check your ID. You can get it printed up." And so when I left, he laughed at me as I left. It took him another year or two before he'd actually believe that I was actually a pastor. And his sister had to tell him before he would believe it. Now, again, it don't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter how far you've gone. Doesn't matter how low you've got. God takes care of us. Amen. Includes us. Now, I love this. Look, so in other words, the reason it's good news is because it's for me. Look at that. When you see that star, what does it look like? The cross. You cannot separate the manger from the cross. Not a bit. So I'm closing. I'm almost through. Y'all get ready because we're getting ready to do something. I'm talking about the musicians. Y'all get ready. Here we go. Watch this. It's good news because it's about a Savior. You know, if I have a plumbing problem, I call a plumber. If I have a car problem, I call a mechanic. If I have an electrical problem, I'll take care of it myself. I call an electrician. Okay? But we have a sin problem. And because we have a sin problem, we need a Savior. That word Savior, sozo. Sozo means deliverer, to make safe, to protect. To deliver, to make safe, to protect. He will deliver you from whatever you're in. He will bring you to a place of safety. And then he will protect you and keep you there. Wow. Think about that. That's three things. There's three offices. Watch. Here he goes. He will deliver you from where you're at, bring you to a safe place, and then he will protect you. You see, that's what God sent. God sent it. Jesus, who is the Christ. Man, that's some good news. And then finally, I love this. This is my favorite part. Have you ever had some good news? You're with somebody and they have the good news and they go, I want to tell it. Okay, then you tell it. And you're sitting there waiting for them to tell it and they're not telling it fast enough. And you want to hurry up and tell it. And so you want to tell it because they're telling it. They're not telling it fast enough. They're not telling it like you want to hear it. They want to hear more. And so you're kind of going, hurry up so I can get in. Hurry up so I can tell a little bit. I want to tell something. You know what? This is so awesome. The Bible said that the sky filled with the host, the army of angels. Army of angels. Wow. The army. Army of angels. You see, I think about this thing. I think they couldn't hold back. They're about to burst at the seams. They're hearing all this, and the one angel's talking, and they're going, can we get in? Can we please get in? I can't wait to tell it too. And here they're about to burst at the seams, and here's what they say. Glory to God in the highest, which means praise and exalt Him. He's the highest because he's beyond time. He's the highest because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the highest because he doesn't even dwell where we dwell. It says, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. That word peace in the Greek is eirene, which means to join together that which has been separated. That's what that word joy means, because it's surroundings. To join together that which has been separated. So watch this. There's the daysman. Man was separated from God by their sin. God knew no sin. God could not dwell in the flesh, so he sent his son. And his son could experience the temptation. His son could experience pain. His son could experience this. So you've got the kinsman redeemer in the manger, and along the way, not only is he the redeemer, he's the daysman, because now he's relating to God how it feels. Because God doesn't know. Because he doesn't have this within him. He doesn't know what it's like to be tempted. He doesn't know what it's like for sin to dwell around him. When Satan did, he cast him out of heaven and one third of the angels. So the daysman and the kinsman redeemer joined together that which was separated. Wow. Not only did they join together that which was separated, then he says this, watch this. Goodwill toward men, if you look it up in the Greek, it doesn't just mean God's throwing goodwill to men. It means, although he is throwing goodwill to men, it means to men of goodwill. Those, it's talking about an attitude. To men that have an attitude that has allowed God to affect them. Let me ask you a question. When you think about Christmas, how does it affect you? Do you think about, well, I got to get these presents and I got to get this and we're going to get the money for that and blah, 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 blah. And what if I don't get invited to this party? What if I do get invited to this party and blah, 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 blah? You know what? I love my grandchildren. I love being Paw Santa to them. And I love being able to just be jolly. But one thing I've never forgotten, and it always keeps me on target, and it always keeps my attitude great about this, is I realize that God did something he didn't have to do. If I wanted to find out how y'all lived, I wouldn't have sent DC or Daniel to live with you so y'all could come back and tell me how y'all lived. I wouldn't. Especially if I knew about me sending DC or Daniel or Bethany or Tamala or Nick, because there was a bunch of them. But initially it was DC and Daniel. I would not send them to your house knowing that you were going to beat them, you were going to strike them, you would do everything within your power to kill them, and eventually they would put you on a cross and you would bleed and die. Just so I could know how it feels to be one of y'all. It wouldn't happen. Some of y'all might want to be all pious, however you want to say it, and say, well, I could do that. No, you couldn't. There's nobody in here that could do that. God did. And so that affects the way I see things. It affects the way I feel things. It affects my attitude toward God, because God did something I know I couldn't do as a father. Glory to God in the highest, because the highest sent His Son to the lowest so that we could go to the highest. Wow. Goodwill toward men. Let your attitude be affected. Be so affected by what He did. You know, now that I'm older, now that I see the whole deal with Christmas, and I now not only celebrate His birth, but at the same time celebrate His death at the same time. Because, like I was telling the church the other day, and I want you to think about this. The Bible says God doesn't lie. It says He's beyond it. He's incapable of lying. So let me tell you something. If God was here right now and He said, I had on a white shirt. God said it, not me. I mean, you saw the Advent candles I picked out. God, who is incapable of lying, said I had a white shirt. And you knew it weren't. I'm not even sure what color it is. It keeps changing. Depends on what light I'm in. You would look at me, you would hear God say it's white, and you'd laugh and go, has He? And you turn around and my shirt would be white. Because if He's incapable of lying, and He speaks the Word and creates worlds and creates things, if God said, my shirt's white, it would be white. God spoke when that young man right there was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis and said, I'm going to heal him. He's healed. They told us he wouldn't live to be 17. At 17, he'd come in third in a state wrestling tournament. And then, he just got to keep on. I'm going to tell you, he says, do not tempt the Lord thy God, Daniel. Daniel gets in a car wreck, a bad car wreck. He can't move his legs. He's paralyzed from here down. And I remember going to his feet and praying for him. And the Lord said, I got this. I got it. And God, I mean, Daniel said he heard a doctor say, it looks like his back's broke and his cord severed. He's standing right here. Matter of fact, 6 months later, he was jumping out of helicopters in Afghanistan. Because although the doctor saw one thing, God said he's healed. And because he's incapable of lying, what he says happens. Paul McCartney made $1 trillion off a song called Let It Be. That makes me feel okay sometimes when I hear that song, but when God says let it be, wow. He's incapable of lying. So when he sent his son on earth in the incarnation, he'd already give all the types and shadows in the Old Testament. When he came to earth in that manger, he was already good as dead on that cross because God spoke it. Some of y'all in here right now are holding on to a promise and wonder when it's going to come to pass. I need to tell you something. If God promised it to you and you heard it from him, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. trust Him. I want everybody to stand up. Good news. Good news. I don't have to be afraid. Good news. Good news. Good news. Good news. Good news. Joy. 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 Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to do this quickly. Number one, if there's somebody here that would say, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. I've never accepted Him. Just like you say, it's not only for the world, it's for me. And I really never realized that because of what I've done. I've never accepted Him. If you're here today, I'm not going to call you out. I just want you to raise that hand and say, will you pray for me? I didn't realize. I just couldn't grasp that it was for me. Number two, maybe you're here and again, you had it going on with God, but something happened. Something happened and you got disenchanted. Something happened and you got your mind all discombobulated and you're trying to figure things out and you wind up getting farther from God instead of closer. And you realize, hey, this good news is for me. It'll help that phobias. It'll help the joy come back because that joy is not based on surroundings. It's based on Jesus Christ coming to earth and restoring my relationship possibilities with God. If I'm talking to you right now, while nobody's looking, would you just raise that hand? Raise that hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I didn't really realize it. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them right now in the name of Jesus. You're so important. You are so important to God that He sent His Son. Let me ask again, could you do that? Could you send your son to somebody's house knowing he'd be ridiculed, beaten, slaughtered? Just so you could say that I know how you feel now. No, but God did. Maybe you're here and you're dealing with phobias. You have an unrealistic fear of something. I know spiders is number one. Number three is death. Number two is speaking in public. So the majority of people would rather be in the coffin than be standing over the coffin speaking. It's the truth, Danny. If you're dealing with a phobia and you need God's help, just put the hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I got some unrealistic fears that I need God to help me deal with. Just raise that hand and say, help me deal with them, Lord. There you go. Help me deal with it, Lord. Help me deal with it. Now, we're going to pray a prayer together. And if you want to come to the altar, you can. If you don't, we'll go ahead and close out the service. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for good news. I thank You that I don't have to dwell alone. I don't have to have my relationship with You severed. The good news is for me. Help me to accept it. I don't have to earn it. I just have to accept it. In the name of Jesus, I accept it. And I thank You for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And Lord, help me deal with those unrealistic fears. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you want to come up here and pray, come on up. God is still with us. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. Matter of fact, God's awesome. Awesome and with us. Don't forget the pounding. Now, some of y'all might not understand what a pounding is. A pounding just means literally, it's talking about bringing food in for others, and the food's going to go to somebody, going to go to a needy family. And the pounding is actually pounds of food. You're not giving money, you're giving pounds of food. And that's what the pounding is. The first time we did this, I didn't understand it. This was right back when I first got saved, and when I heard about the pounding, and I was the clerk of the church, and so I knew who both, it was for two families, I knew who both the families were. And when they had the pounding, the family in the worst shape brought a bag full for the family, the other family. And that tore me up. I saw grace and love. Man, it just tore me up. Listen, let's bring something. You got till Tuesday night. If you want to come in, just let us know. Jeannie will be here Monday, Tuesday. You can come in and bring it to Jeannie over there. But bring some food, because it's cool to get a bunch of food give to you. And you give what you feel led to, but I would say if it could be non-perishable or something that could stay a long time, because if you give them a whole bunch of perishable stuff at one time, it's kind of hard to eat it all at once. So, you know, kind of space it out so you can get some non-perishable stuff. Amen?
Stephen Smith, some prayer, please.
Father God, we just praise you and love you, Lord, and we just thank you for sending Jesus here to die for us. His birth and his death, and realizing that it's for each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that good news. And it does give us joy in our hearts to know that we have that good news. And Lord, we pray that you bless and touch each and every one through this Christmas season, Lord. And let's keep our minds right. Keep our minds focused on you and what you did for us and the world. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.